Okay, so yesterday we started talking about the topic of Mumche L'Rabbi. Now we have a certain category of a Talmid Chacham who is empowered, at least within some constraints and within some details, that he can be Don Yechidi, that he can preside over Dinei Mamonos individually by himself, even though the normal rule is, the first lines of our tractate, Dini Mamonos for Shlosha, you normally should need three for a panel of a Beis Din, and it's a dispute in the Gemara, whether that's a Din HaTorah or a Midrabanan. But it seems like, this is itself a little bit of a debate between Rashi and Tosfos, let's say for our purposes, practically a Yachid Mumcha, somebody who is an expert, and not only an expert, but has that special title of a Yachid Mumcha L'Rabbin, he's a public expert, so then he can adjudicate as an individual. He can be Don Yechidi. So we spent some time yesterday talking about how do we define a Mumcha L'Rabbin, what do the words mean. We talked about different scenarios as to what we're looking for, because it probably explains why he's special. So is it that he's well known, and therefore that might help because he's more likely to be accepted? Is that the issue? We're worried that people will take what he says seriously. Is the issue that because he's experienced, he's less likely to make mistakes, or because he's very knowledgeable, he's less likely to make mistakes? Is the issue that his judgment that goes beyond book learning is going to be more reliable if he's very experienced? So what does Rabbi mean? Rabbi means he's well known, means he's dealt with a lot of cases. So we saw different suggestions in the Rishonim as to how to understand this expression. And those are all clues as to why he's special. Why is it that he can do things that others are told not to do? Now, we left off with a question, and that's what we'd like to start with today. This idea that he's allowed, or he's entitled, he's empowered to adjudicate in ways that others aren't, so how far do we go with that? So what does that mean practically? So there is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and it's an interesting discussion to have in general about Pirkei Avos and how do we look at it. Do we look at it as a halachic sefer? Do we look at it as a sefer that's more al piderach hamusar? So normally, I'd like to say that we look at it as a halachic sefer for all kinds of implications. But in this sugya specifically, it becomes an important question whether statements in Pirkei Avos are meant as absolute halacha, are they meant as good advice, are they meant as musar? That becomes an important question. So for the record, that happens to be, I often emphasize the statement of the Bartanuru and the Meiri that point out that Pirkei Avos begins with Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai, begins with the whole history of the giving of the Torah at Sinai. I mentioned this yesterday, and that in order to emphasize that Pirkei Avos should not be looked at as how to win friends and influence people as suggested by the rabbis. It shouldn't look like it's just good advice from the rabbis. We should recognize that it is actual Torah Misinai, and that is in general the understanding. So I don't want to water that down at all. But it happens to be that in this sugya specifically, there's going to be a lot of emphasis placed on how to look at a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and how does it interact with our sugya. Is it absolute? Is it advice? Is it musar? Is it somewhere in between? That becomes specifically an issue. So without taking away at all from the tremendous importance of Pirkei Avos, which I emphasize so strongly in many other contexts, and without trying to take away from its generally halakhically binding and misinai nature, in this case, there is what to discuss, and we have to figure out how to interact. So there is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah appears in the fourth parak, and it's either the eighth Mishnah or the tenth Mishnah, depending on what edition you have. So in this Siddur, it's picked up here, it's the tenth Mishnah. Most other places, probably the eighth Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Hu haya omer, al tihi don yichidi. You should not be dog, you should not adjudicate a case by yourself. Why not? Shein don yichidi al achad, because there's only one who can do that. And who's that one? It's not left as a mystery. Ribbono Shel Olam, only Ribbono Shel Olam can be don yichidi. And then the Mishnah ends with another statement, which is probably also significant, and we'll come back to the significance of the rest of the Mishnah. But that statement in the Mishnah, that one should not be done yechidi, so are we assuming that that's in contradiction to our Gemara? So the easy answer would be to say that no, maybe we're not talking about a mumcha. Our Gemara is saying a mumcha can be done yechidi, and maybe the Mishnah is talking about somebody else. But that's not the general assumption that the Meforshim or the Rishonim have. The working assumption is that that Mishnah is talking about a mumcha, is talking about somebody who theoretically could be Don Yechidi, and yet the Mishnah says not. So if that's the case, so how did our Sugya and this Mishnah work together? So before trying to resolve it, so one point to ask is, what do you think the Mishnah is saying? How do you interpret the Mishnah? First of all, do you think the Mishnah is talking in absolute terms? Do you think the Mishnah is saying something al-pidar ha-musr? Is it giving good advice? Why is the Mishnah saying what it says? How do you understand it? What would you suggest? What would you take away as the thrust of this Mishnah? Okay.
Well, the second part is apparently that God is the only judge.
Okay.
The judge who judges alone.
Okay, so therefore what? So what do you want to take away from that?
So it sounds like it's a theological point. You shouldn't think yourself like God in that sense.
Okay, so that's what it sounds like from Rashi. Rashi in his commentary, the Pirkei Avos. Right, that's what it sounds like from some of the Rishonim, including Rashi, that essentially what's the issue? The issue is not the Chavadik. It's not respectful to God. It doesn't really have so much to do with the process of Din. And that maybe theoretically Din could work with one dying, but you're offending God when you're doing this. You're basically taking his position that the idea of being a single judge is something that's supposed to be unique to the Ribono Shel, and that's wrong of you to impinge on. So then maybe one could say that the concept of being Don Yechidi exists as far as Hilchos Dayanim is concerned, as far as the process of Mishpat. But there's a side issue. The Mishnah is saying, if you act like this, you're basically acting and playing God, as they say. And that's inherently problematic for other reasons. So Tosfos, if you saw, Tosfos deals with this question over here, and you see from Tosfos that Tosfos has probably a few possible ways to understand this, because our Gemara says not only that it's possible to be Don Yechidi, but our Gemara goes on to say, Amar Rav Nachman kigon ana Don Dinim Omnus B'Yechidi. Right, that not only is it a theoretical possibility, but it sounds like Rav Nachman is giving himself as an example of somebody who either does this or could do this. And saying it like that, either does this or could do this, is because you see Tosfos is not so clear on which one it is. So what does Tosfos say here? Kigon ana b'had ditznam b'maseches Avos. Alt hi don yechidi, she'ein don yechidi ele achara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Puts that word in. So the first statement of Tosfos is, Eitza tova kamash malon, shlo yita. So what's the point? This is good advice. And what's the reason for the good advice? So you shouldn't make a mistake. Then it goes on to say, here's where you have two possibilities. V'hadda amar ki gona no. So now to understand, what does Rav Nachman mean when he says, like me, Hainu Kolomer Yochalad Velo Shahayadon. So he was giving himself as an example of somebody who could be such a dying. Not that he actually did it, because he would take the Eitzah of Pirkei Avos and not actually do it. But he's an example of somebody who's qualified to do it. Inami, or alternatively, Rogel Haya Bedinin. He is somebody who was very experienced with Din, and therefore he wasn't worried that he was going to make a mistake. So it seems like Tosfos is essentially different from what we just said a minute ago. That the issue isn't so much a covenant for the Ribono Shel Olam kind of consideration, but the issue is that we're worried about mistakes. That practically speaking, yes, maybe the mumcha could pull this off, and maybe he would have the authorization to do that. But we're worried about error, so therefore it's not a good idea. So Rav Nachman, either he also would worry it's not a good idea, or because of his extra experience, he doesn't have to worry about it. But what emerges from Tosfos is a different understanding, that we're worried about Tosfos. Where does the Rambam fit into this whole picture? Are you?
Isn't the whole point of a mocha is that we're pretty sure he won't make a mistake?
Like, well, that's actually what we saw yesterday. We're not sure what the whole point is. It could be the whole point.
I'm saying,
right? So it's part of a clue, right? That's something to be on the lookout for, that maybe this is an indication that that's not the whole point of the mocha, or that maybe it's only halfway there, right? So what we saw yesterday, what we tried to keep our eyes open to, is that we're not 100% sure why the mocha is special. Maybe because he's less likely to make a mistake, maybe it's something else. And then you could either say, Taka, okay, so Rav Nachman is basically saying, I'm the kind of mumcha who doesn't have to worry about this, so I could do this. Or maybe no, that even though a mumcha, it doesn't handle the chash toes, and therefore I'm still not going to do it. Or maybe half and half. Maybe the average person who would be done by himself is very likely to make a mistake. A mumcha l'rabim is much less likely to make a mistake. A mumcha l'rabim who still makes sure to do it with other people anyway is even less likely to make a mistake. Jacob?
So Washington is like a fundamental approach against it, saying that it's not like right to do it, because only something Hashem can do.
Mm-hmm.
So what would he say, how would Rashi respond to, or how would interpret Nachman's statement?
So it could be that the first day of Tosfos, it could be that Nachman is saying that I'm somebody who represents somebody who's qualified, and maybe he wouldn't actually do it. Which is certainly workable. So Tosfos, either way, whether Tosfos takes that or not, Tosfos seems to indicate their understanding that they see this as an issue of Tosfos. So where does the Rambam fit in here? So if you saw the Rambam, it's the Rambam's language in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph. So the Rambam writes, Echad Shehoya Mumcha L'Rabim. Oh, Shnato Rishosh Mibezdin, we'll have to get to that. Harei Zeh Mutter Lo Lodin Yechidi. So he's allowed to do this, but he's not considered to be a Bezdin. What's the significance of him not being a Bezdin, that he can be gone, he's not a Bezdin? So it happens to be the Rambam has some important nafkaminas, which we'll talk about after this. But we're interested right now in another part of what he has to say. Says, even though this is permissible, mitzvahs chachamim hu, Shemoshiv imavacherin, Sheherei Omru, Al Tihi Don Yechidi, Shein Don Yechidi Ela Echad. So, yes, theoretically this works, this is mutter, but Chachamim have said that he should nonetheless take others with him. So, first of all, as later Mefarshim point out, this mitzvah Chachamim is a milder language than you might think, but he doesn't mean to say it's a mitzvah from the Chachamim, meaning a mitzvah derabbanan. Because one could have said, all right, so then the Rambam's point is that min haTorah you could be dan yechidi as an individual mumcha, but midrabbanan they said not to, and that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is saying. So the general understanding of the Rambam is that's not what he means. He means that, yes, even midrabbanan, it's effective and permissible for a mumcha to be done, but the rabbis indicated that it's not right to do. And therefore the rabbi said, still in practice it's better for you to take somebody else with you. And if you look at the Hagos Maimini, so the Hagos Maimini has a comment over here. It's an Os Dalid. It's actually quoting the Smag. It's hard to know what Rosh Hashanah means, but it's the Smag. So Kosov HaSmag, De'ein Zeh Ela Eitza Tova. This is good advice. Again, I feel awkward saying this because I spent so much time emphasizing that Pirkei Avos is not just good advice, and that Pirkei Avos should be treated as Torah Misinai, which it is. But in this context, so this is important to separate the terms, so we have to place everything in context. So here it's being called an Eitzah Tova, that's how he's understanding the Smat. So what's the Rambam's position? So what do you understand from the Rambam? Is the Rambam saying it's good advice, this is saying it's a bad covenant? How do you view those words?
I think it sounds a little like Tosfos.
Okay, they worry about a mistake.
Rashi seemed to say it seemed to be outright not okay. It's something only Hashem could do, but when it came to Tosfos, he interpreted that and made it seem like it was okay for specific individuals, and they met the certain criteria, But at the same time, even if you meet this criteria, even though it's okay, it might not be. I think that's what the Rambam is saying. Yes, it's okay, but it should be avoided if possible.
Okay, it's possible. The Rambam's a little bit hard to know for sure what he's getting at, but it's a viable reading. Amir?
I didn't really link him up exactly, but Tosfos on my job was more going along the lines of saying that we want people to have cases done with a Beis Din, and if we're constantly letting people do it with one person, then they're going to get the implication that it's okay, and then we won't have people going to Beis Din as much.
That's what you think Tosfos means.
No, the Rambam.
The Rambam.
To avoid that problem, the Chacham said it's better that you always do it with the Beis Din as opposed to doing it.
Is that what you think the Rambam means? That's interesting. I mean, do you see indication that he's talking about general policy for other people, but that's what he means? I mean, one could have thought that he means that you're saying that for yourself also, that it's not a good idea, even if it's not going to lead to others following. I mean, I think you're right. There's no question that as a matter of public policy, so if we let individual dayanim decide, oh, they're special, they're good enough to handle this by themselves, so you'll probably have a lot of less qualified dayanim drawing the same conclusions about themselves. So you're right, we should probably say, well, plug, that that's a good policy. You see that in the Rambam specifically? Maybe you're right. I think you're right as an independent point, that that's certainly worthy. Jacob?
I just want to add that the fact that the Rambam gave this qualifier, the fact that it says mutter, but you know, if you have the chum, you say you should have more. One main reason that could be, if you have one person who's 100% qualified and knows all the dinim, the only reason why to think you need another person is because this first person made a mistake. So if one person's okay, the only reason to have more is to avoid mistakes, which is what Tosfos has made the point of this.
Well, couldn't you also say because of the covet angle, that because only a Kodesh Baruch Hu could do this, so therefore, say either way, if somebody is totally knowledgeable still, we might have both considerations. Maybe, should we?
And the Rambam says in a Pirush Mishnayos that even if he's a mumcha, it still has to be made known to the community that he is a mumcha and that he's judging alone, which seems to indicate an issue of kavod. You know, like not only does he have to have the knowledge, but the community has to be aware that he's a very smart guy.
Kavod for him, I guess.
Kavod for, I guess, like him for the process.
For the
general,
process.
So, you know, people won't like see him judging alone. And
what about the kavod of Hashem Etsu that you're hinging on God's territory? Is that still addressed? Maybe. Hi.
How often do we frown upon trying to act in the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Just out of curiosity.
That's a great question, you know, because in general, so, you know, you talk about doctors playing God, it's actually...
We're trying to be...
Right, well, it is a very tricky question because it's a little bit outside the scope of the sugya, but it's a fair point to be concerned about because, in general, so we have the notion that we have a mitzvah to be like God, we have a big mitzvah to be like God, but after the Bedrachah, we're told to follow in his path and to imitate him. So that, Chazal generally understand to refer to chesed, that we should help out people just like God helps out people. And Soloveitchik had many other applications beyond this. Shechter wrote an essay about it that was printed in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, where Soloveitchik found many other applications of where we're supposed to be like God. But we know also that we perceive clear limits. So, for example, we don't feel that just because the Kodesh Baruch Hu executes people, so we could execute people on our own whim, so to speak, or decide to punish people in general in extrajudicial context. And we know that there is a limit. We talk about playing God in the negative sense. So it's a fair question in general. I think in this case, so the clue is that the Mishnah is saying that there's a certain aspect that is specifically about God's unique stature, and for us to try to join in over there, we're basically saying we're like God in the Gaiva kind of sense. We're like God in the sense where it's inappropriate, that there's something which you have to be actually God in order to be able to do effectively. And we're making the statement that that's how we perceive ourselves, if we're going to take on that role.
Wasn't Moshe Danichidi as well, though?
Oh, so that's an interesting question. I want to come back to that, actually, in a moment. So, hold on to that point. Yes, sir?
Are we still exploring what the Rambam means when he says, like, I'm a
Sure.
Yeah. So I was thinking that, I mean, as opposed to perhaps Rashi's problem with respect for God. Maybe it's not, it's a personality problem. If someone's so sure, I guess what we were saying about the guidebook,
uh-huh.
if someone feels that they're so sure about themselves, there's probably something that they...
So that's something that they miss.
They're probably something that they're missing because they're too confident. They're not looking over it carefully enough.
Yeah, which is a fair point in general, as we also see in other areas of life. It's not for people who can do this, who think they can do this, who shouldn't be the ones doing this. Right? They're probably a good litmus test for whether or not a person should be done yechidi is whether or not they think they can. If they think that they can be done yechidi, that might show they should not be done yechidi. You know, they say, well, if you want to try to offend all the professions, so, you know, there's the Mishnah in Kiddushin, which has that very challenging line, especially for a religion that has produced so many doctors of whom we are so proud and all our mothers are so proud. And yet the Mishnah says, Tov Shibarofim Ligahenim, that it sounds like even the best of the doctors somehow were destined for a less than wonderful future. So there are those who suggest that it means, my father's Kornabach was fond of quoting this chat, that it means the doctor who sees himself as the Toiv Shibarof, the doctor who thinks that, oh, I am so confident in my opinion, I don't need anybody else's insight, so that's the kind that's going to do great damage. And perhaps not coincidentally, so you hear in secular culture such doctors being described as having a God complex. You know, if somebody is so confident in his own capabilities, so you're right that that is probably itself the red flag. That's probably itself something that's going to lead to problems. So one could argue, Davka, somebody who thinks they should do that, that's a raya that they should not do that, and that they should include others, and that's itself a part of getting to emes. You know, we find also that the Gemara tells us that we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, even though Beis Shammai was sharper, because Beis Hillel were nochid v'aluvim, they were more modest, and they quote others before themselves. And it's often pointed out that that's great that they were modest, okay, so they should get the prize for Rabbi Congeniality, or whatever it is, they should get the prize for Midos. But the idea that we're going to paskin like them because they're modest doesn't seem to be fair, unless we assume that that's also a part of the process of getting to the truth, that the more you recognize you don't know everything, and that you need others, so the more likely you are to get to a true approach. So all of this is part of it. And it's fascinating that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. You can find this in Yoredei Chelek Gimel of the tshuva of Sigrus Moshe, and Simon Kuf Mem Beis, Os Beis. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva there. It's interesting. He talks about the need for three dayanim in general. So he says, let's say if a Bezdin sends out a hazmana to somebody, sends out a summons to somebody, so is it necessary that the Bezdin does that with all three signed on? Or can one dayan, two dayanim send out a hazmana? That's a whole story. So in the context of that shuvah, so he gets into this whole discussion about what does it mean to be dan yechidi? And what's the issue? What's the issue in Pirkei Avos? Is the issue a concern for a mistake? Or is the issue a kavod for a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What exactly are we bothered by? So he suggests that this is relevant to a Gemara, which I put on the Marmar Chomus yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit last semester. Gemara in the first paragraph of Brachos. The Gemara there says that the Shechina is present in different gatherings, and the Shechina is present in a minyan, and it's present at a din Torah, if you saw the Gemara. So we discussed that Gemara a little bit last semester because we mentioned it as one of the possibilities why a Bezdin in general should have three. And what talked for some length why it is that a Bezdin is generally supposed to have three dayanim. And one of the possible suggestions is because of the Shechina that is apparently present. So Rav Moshe explains in a little more detail that the truth is, it sounds like Nechem Martin's a point that we made then, that really the Shechina is there even when you have one person learning Torah. And that the Gemara was just telling us about three as an extra chiddush. What's the chiddush? Because the Gemara says, okay, so if I know that one person who's learning, the Shechina is present,
So why do I need to be told two? The Gemara says, well, when two people learn together, so what they say gets written down in the Sefer as the Chronos as opposed to one. So then the Gemara says, okay, so if I know two, then why do I need to be told three? Why do I need to be told that you have three Dayanim, the Shechina is present? So the Gemara says that you might think that Din is not really Torah, it's just bringing about Shalom in the world, Shlomo Ba'alma. So the message is, no, that's also called Torah. So it sounds like the reading of the Gemara is that, yeah, of course, three really has the Shechina, because one does two, but you need to be told this because you might have thought that Din was something else. So then you could have said, all right, so I don't understand this idea, then why do I need three for the Shechina? Really, one also has the Shechina. It's just there was a Chiddush in the Gemara that had to explain it. So Rav Moshe explains that point a little bit more. Rav Moshe says that essentially, it's not just that three sitting and doing a Din Torah, automatically that constitutes Torah. It's Torah specifically because it is the accurate sock of the Beis Din. So perhaps in order for that to be true, you need to have the panel of three. It's not stop like one guy who's learning and that's clear Torah. These three people who are involved in a litigation, who are involved in settling a dispute between two people, what they're saying is also called Torah specifically because it is the psak of the Beis Din. So therefore you still need the three once you're doing an adjudication as opposed to just learning a Gemara. So once you're involved in a dispute resolution, so maybe you do need the three in order to have the Shechina. So Rav Moshe suggests that that's tied in a little bit to understanding what's the issue in Pirkei Avos. That maybe the issue is that if you have only one Dayan, so then, okay, it's an effective din. But you want to be done with the Shechina. That's clearly the best way to do it. And you're only going to have the presence of the Shechina if you have three. And only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be done by himself. So here's a moment of a little synergy. Again, the veterans know that we're always looking for synergy, different ways to connect different things going on. So this week's parsha is Parshas Yisro. So we mentioned last man, Meshach Chachma, this week's parsha, Parshas Yisro, that Yisro, when he comes to Moshe and he gives him his advice about the hierarchical court system, so he has a couple of points that he's making. And one of the points that he's making is that this is not an effective system. And also, it's not right. Why are you doing everything by yourself? You're being don yichidi, essentially, as was just asked. So the Meshach Chachma comments that, in general, you need three dayanim for the Shechina, or three dayanim to avoid a mistake. And in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he was unique in both those ways. So he's somebody who we know is the conduit for the Shechina. That's his whole role. He's a unique Navi. And we know also that he's more insulated against mistakes. So Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. But that's the Meshach Chachma comment in this week's parsha. For the average person, this isn't necessarily going to be effective. Okay, so we have this issue. How do we mesh this Mishnah with the Gemara? So we see a couple of possible ways to look at it. So what's also interesting, if you look at the whole Mishnah in context, so what does the rest of the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah goes on to say that you shouldn't be done by yourself. And then the Mishnah says something which may or may not be connected. It's a little mysterious. V'al tomar kabul daiti. A person should not say, I command you accept my opinion. Why not? Shehei Rishoyin Vulaata. They're allowed to, you're not. So it's not clear what the last part means. Hei Rishoyin Vulaata. And what's the context of Kabudaiti? What exactly are we talking about? So some of the Mephorshim say that this is a direct outgrowth of what we were just talking about. That a yachid, who's a mumche, a rabbin, he could be don yechidi, but our Mishnah is saying, don't do that. Our Mishnah is saying, better you should get two other dayanim with you, and you should adjudicate that way. So then, some of the Mephorshim, the Rambam and others, say if you continue, that's what the rest of the Mishnah is saying. Okay, what's going on here? We now have three people on the panel. One mumcha, and two less prominent dayanim. So before they vote, maybe the mumcha is going to say, okay, listen, the two of you, I just brought you on for image, I just brought you on for PR, so people shouldn't think that I'm doing this by myself against the Mishnah novice, but you don't really have an opinion here. So just listen to me, vote like I tell you, and let's deal with it. So some of the Mefarshim, like the Rambam Raz, understand that's what's going on here, that we're advising the Yachid Mumcha that he should take two other Dayanim with him. And when he does that, he shouldn't tell them, okay, now you have to vote like me, because I can do it without you, but rather, you have to actually let it have a genuine process and let them actually have opinions and let them actually vote. So there is a fascinating discussion here, and again, you'll forgive the discrimination, but this will be a little bit more familiar to those who were here last semester. That will eventually dissipate, but for now, it's still the case. That there is a major machlokas that we discussed at some length last semester, which comes up in the context of this point. So one of the Rishonim, the Tashbet, wrote an important commentary on Pirkei Avos called the Magen Avos. So the Magen Avos, writing here, the Magen Avos says, this is also Midarchei HaChasidus. Right, so we had just discussed a minute ago whether having two other dayanim with you, is that absolutely required, or is that Midarchei HaChasidus? Is that good advice? Or is that Midarchei HaMusar? So the Tashbetz writes that the second part also, that one dayan shouldn't say to the other two, just be quiet, listen to me, that's also not an absolute din, but that's also Midarchei HaChasidus. Why? Because of the following point that we discussed last month, that what's in general the story? Let's say you have a Beis Din, and the Beis Din is made up of three dayanim, and it's a 2-1 split. But the dayan, who's the one against the two, he is much more qualified than the other two. Let's say we can clearly assess that the single dayan has more chachma than the other two put together. So who should we follow? What do you think?
The one that is more intelligent.
So it seems clear to you that that's the case, but this was a major machlokas we showed him, but he would have thought more intuitive the other way. I'm surprised he considered that the more obvious way, because he would have think, okay, we have a three-person panel, that's the whole point. We have a Torah that says, after Rabbi Mahatos, we should follow the road. So probably, okay, whatever it is, so the smart guy lost, but 2-1, that's our blocker. That's your after album happens.
It depends for what you're deeming.
Okay.
For the judgment.
Okay.
We've seen in the Mishnah, if it's for good, you need to have two.
Right, the Mishnah says in terms of what kind of majority you need to have for exonerating somebody versus executing somebody. But here, the question is, let's say, not in terms of how many the numbers are, but how should we assess the numbers? Are we counting up people? Or are we counting chachma points? So this was actually Machlokas Rishonim. And the Ramban quotes Rav Haigam as saying that we would only count people if everybody's roughly equal. But if they're not equal, then we wouldn't necessarily follow the road. And the Ramban and others disagree. And the Ramban said, no, we're going to follow the road pretty much across the board. So the Tashbetz, very interesting, the Tashbetz takes the position of Rav Haigam here. And the Tashbetz says, really, this Yochid Mumcha, he's entitled to do this. Meikar Adin, he could get together his two other dayanim, and he could say, I don't care what you guys think. If that's the way you want to vote, I'm telling you to be quiet. So that would have been fine as far as Hilchos Dayanim is concerned. But Bidarchei HaChasidus says the Tashbetz, he shouldn't do it. So that's an interesting point. Happens to be, Rav Aji Yosef talks about this a little bit, there's a commentary in Pirkei Avos, written by Rav Aji Yosef, called Anaf Eitz Avos. He discusses how this point is the Machlokas HaRishonim, and the Tashbetz is apparently siding here with Rav Haigam. But the others would have said, no, that's Meikar Hadin. Once you have a panel of three, so if the two are going to vote one way, then they're going to win. And that's the way it should be. It's also a commentary on Pirkei Avos that was written by the Maharam Shik,
Chaim Shipp was a great posek in Hungary. He was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer. So Chaim Shipp has many volumes of Tshuvas and other volumes. There's a sefer Chumash that they have in the Chaim Shipp, which is mostly collected from statements that he has in his Tshuvas and other places. The sefer Pirkei Avos, I don't recall whether it's something he wrote directly or whether it was collected from other places. But the Chaim Shipp comments on this Mishnah, you can find it, the volume of Chaim Shipp on Pirkei Avos. So Chaim Shipp says that this idea of not being done by yourself, says this is really all because we're afraid of mistakes. That it's a good policy that you shouldn't try to make decisions without the insight of other people. And therefore, says the Chaim Shipp, that it's not only a dini mamonis thing. That this is true in your day also, or it's true in Eben Ezra, or it's true in any other area of life, that anything a posek is asked about, it really would be advisable if you could get other people to comment. That would also be kedai, that would also be a good idea. And then he goes on to say, so that's what the rest of the Mishnah says, that the Mishnah says you shouldn't say kapu daiti, so because that's the whole point. The whole point of this is that you're trying to get the insight of other people, even people who are of lesser stature, people who may not be on your level, but maybe they might catch something you missed. So to surround yourself with yes men makes no sense. This is something we find in leadership all over the place. So Maim Shik is saying that it's always kedai, no matter how educated or smart you are, to have people, even if they are younger or less educated, around you who can give you some feedback. And then the whole point is, you don't want them to be yes men, you want them to give honest opinions. So if you're going to say, kavu daiti, so then you're undermining the whole point. The whole point of the first part of the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. If you're going to say to these guys, stop it. And then he goes on to say that, shehei rishon ela ata, shehei ata rishon ela hei rishon, you're not allowed, but they're allowed. So some of the Mefarshim say, like the Tashbetz would say, so what does it mean, they're allowed, you're not allowed? So the Tashbet says it means that that's goes to, or others would say that goes to the whole question of, do you follow a majority or do you follow Rav Chachma? So if you assume you follow the majority of people, so the rest of the Mishnah is saying you're not allowed to tell them to listen to you. They're allowed to tell you to listen to them, because if it's 2-1, they're going to win. So that's what it means. So the Maram Shik suggests it's actually talking about the litigants. The litigants will come to ask the question. So fine, they're coming to authority. So they're allowed to say, okay, I don't understand why this is. I don't understand why you decided the way you did, but I'll listen to you because you know more. So if they want to take that attitude, fine, that's what they're there for. But for you to say to others, oh, don't ask me any questions, just listen. So that's not productive, because the whole point is that you want to get other people's opinions. So it doesn't make sense for you to take that attitude with other people. Yes, sir.
Does this only apply when you're sitting with other people who are holding a Din Torah? Let's say they're your Shvei Karanot or...
So that's actually a fascinating question, because that's an important point which opens up another issue. So the Stipler, for example, has a discussion. Others point out, say for Shahar Mishpat and Shulchan Aruch, notes that he thinks that theoretically, because of the Mishnah which says that we should get 3 Dayanim because we're worried we might get Yoshvei Kronos, and if we assume Yoshvei Kronos means total Amaratz, people who don't know anything at all, so then it sounds like you theoretically could have a panel where you have one real Dayan and two people who aren't really Dayanim at all. So then some assume in that case, then, for sure, whether you hold like Rav Chaim or the Rambam or anybody, then if there's a machlokus between the Dayan and the two people who are completely not Dayanim, then for sure we would follow the Dayanim. It's just if we're talking about 3 actual Dayanim, but one happens to be so accomplished that he's as smart and as learned as the other two put together, then we can argue about who we're going to listen to. But if it's that you have 3 because of the concern of Yoshe Kronos, but the other two are Bechlal not Dayanim, so some of the commentaries said, Shabishpat, that's for sure, the Ramban would agree, you would listen to the Dayan over the other two. Okay, so a major question that emerges is, we know the Gemara talks about, and we're going to have to get into this more, but the Gemara talks about people being Makabel the Yachid Mumcha. And they have decided to accept his authority. We're going to have to talk about that in detail because it's an important point. So, does being Makabel the authority Does that affect the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? It affects certain things, we'll have to figure out what, but what about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? The Mishnah says you should not be done by yourself. Is that also talking to somebody who was accepted by the panel, by the litigants rather? If the litigants accepted him, do we still say you shouldn't be done yachid? This point, by the way, happens to be incredibly important for practical halacha. So what do you think? Does it make a difference if you're mekabelin? Are you?
So it could be that the Mishnah of those, it means that you shouldn't go ahead and try to force people according to your will. You're just one person. You should, if they don't accept your authority, and the Gemara is saying, assuming that they accept your authority, then you should judge. I mean, that...
Okay, what do you think?
So I was just going to actually ask, could you accept him as two? Could you say that?
Decide, I'll
I know you
play around with the math. Right, that's true. Now, manas and ages is such a concept that you could say that even when you need two agents, you believe somebody like two. So essentially, I don't know how much the math comes in here, but let's say if the litigants say, we accept you completely, we go to this one Talmud Chacham, and we're more trusting of you than we are of any other three dayanim. So, does this concern, does it disappear? So, any further guesses on whether it should or shouldn't? Any further suggestions, Sammy?
I think that if we're going according to Rashi, who says that there's a reason for what the Mishnah says, and that's because it's about being disrespectful to God, then if we apply that here, the same thing should still.
Okay. Very good. So you think if it's about kavod, so then maybe it doesn't matter if they're mekabel.
Yeah.
Okay, point very well taken. Any further suggestions? All right.
Well, if it's about making mistakes, then they're fine with you making mistakes, apparently.
Okay, so that's a very good possibility. So hold that in your pocket for a second. So Sammy says that it should be totally, that if it's about kavod, it shouldn't work. And Arya says the other half of the sentence, that if it's about mistakes, maybe it should work. And Jacob says?
I don't think that it should work, because just because the public accepts it, and a person doesn't get a certain individual.
Well, that's what we're talking about. These litigants, if these people who are dealing with it, they have accepted. So then, what would be? So this happened to be a major machlokas between the Meforshim and the Mishnah. So if you had a chance to see, so in some of the additions to the Mishnayos, the major Meforshim and the Mishnayos in general, are the Bartanuro and the Tosfos Yontif. You generally have the Masechus Mishnayos, those are the major Mefarshim of Mishnayos. Pirkei Avos, some Pirkei Avos are printed with Rashi and the Rambam, and some are printed like the rest with the Bartanuro and the Tosfos Yontif. So here, if you're looking at the page with the Bartanuro and the Tosfos Yontif, you'd see a major machlokes between them on this point. That the Bartanuro writes that all of this is assuming they were not metabolism, that we don't have the litigants actively accept it. If they accept it, I mean, they write even the Darchei HaChassidus, there's no issue. No matter how much you want to be basically Dei Shamayim, there's no concern. Happens to be the Tashbetz already write the same thing. The Tashbetz, in his commentary Modern Avos, that we mentioned, so he also says that if there's a Kabbalah, then the Darchei HaChassidus even doesn't apply. And it's totally fine for one to be Don Yechid. So the Bartanuro wrote that, and Tashbetz wrote that, and the Tosfos Yontif strongly disagrees. Tosfos Yontif says he doesn't know where he gets this from, and it's a bad idea. And he throws in the fact also, without so much explaining it, that it's better in general to have a couple of dayanim so people shouldn't really know who voted for them and who voted against them. That's also good advice. Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you reveal to a litigant, oh, I voted for you, but the other two voted against you, that's rechilus. It's not a good idea. So here the Tosfos Yontif says you want to have that kind of deniability. But he says, I don't know where the Bartanuro gets this from, and it's not true. So it's surprising that he says he doesn't know where he gets it from, because the Tashbetz that we've mentioned also quotes a Yerushalmi, which essentially says this. Yerushalmi essentially says that if they're mekabel you, then you can be done by yourself. And the Mishnah L'Melech commenting over here, if you look at the Mishnah L'Melech here in Beis Yid Aleph, The Mishnah Malach also says that the Sefer Yerushalmi doesn't know why the Tosfos Yotif is so surprised if he would say such a thing. But, in any event, that's what we have. We have a Machlokas, and these Mefarshim as to whether this din changes if there's the Kabbalah. Yes, sir?
The Gemara sounds like there were cases where someone already judged, and then the question was, what do we do when he made a mistake?
Yes, that's the whole thing we're going to get to, God willing, soon. That's pretty much next up, but that opens up a whole other avenue that we're not ready for.
But in terms of this question, it sounds like the question was, did they accept you, or did they not accept you?
Mm-hmm.
Which, how is he in front of them, and they're being judged by him? What's the case?
Well, because we don't know how authoritatively to take the line of you're not being done yet. It could be that that's possible, but it's not. So maybe we would have said, okay, so there's a scenario where somebody judged by himself, he shouldn't have done it, but or it's bad advice, but he could have done it. So to that, the Tashbetz is saying, if they're Makabalin, and the finish is that that's not even bad advice. That's not even a problem. So essentially, you have this Machlokas, Rabbi Jonas and Sachs, once upon a time there's a Rebbe here, Rabbi Jonas and Sachs and his Sefer on Pirkei Avos, so he quotes Aryeh and Sammy to explain this Machlokas. He says, what's the Machlokas about? He said, exactly like Sammy said in the day of Tosfos Yontif, that doesn't matter if there's a Kabbalah, it's not Bechavadik, it's against this idea of Ein Don Yechidi Aleichem. And what's the Bartender's position? The Bartender's position is like Aryeh, that it's about toes, and if they're Makabal you, so then it's not the problem of toes. So there's another explanation, which is just very interesting also, because it takes us into a lot of what we'll see in the next few sugyas. And something I really want to call your attention to, because we have this sugya, and then we have Smicha coming up, and then we have Kshara coming up. And we have to, in the middle, talk about what Aryeh is asking about, what's called a mistake, what's not called a mistake, and what are the ramifications of the mistake. There is a thread that runs through all these sugyas and that connects them all. And should be sensitive to looking out for what that is, and I think it's a little bit related to the following point. And the Sefer Sukkos David. Sukkos David was written by David Kviat, who passed away a few years ago. He was one of the Rosh Yeshiva and the Great Yeshiva in Brooklyn. So Sukkos David has a Sefer on Pirkei Avos also. And there he says he thinks that the Machlokas, the Bartanuro, and the Tosfos Yontif is what is the issue within Tos. And they both agree that we're concerned about Tos. The question is, what's called a Tos? So says the Sukkos David, in the opinion of the Bartanuro, if you have a Kabbalah, you don't really have to worry about Tos so much. But essentially, the parties are willing to accept whatever your decision is. And basically, that means that whatever your decision is becomes true. It's essentially not a mistake, at least within certain limits. So therefore, that will address it. And he notes that in this interpretation, we're working off the previous Mishnah 2. That the previous Mishnah, Mishnah Tess, which is the first half of the sentence, really, as some of the portion point out, part of why we have a question as to how to count the Mishnayos, to mention some of the additions, it's 8 and some it's 10, so because the question is which Mishnayos should be chopped up and which shouldn't. So it's really, this is the same Mishnah, it's the same statement, the previous Mishnah here in this Siddur that I'm picking up, so it's called Mishnah Tess, and we're recording Mishnah Yud in this edition. So the first part is, Rabbi Shmuel Beno Omer, HaChosech Atzmo Min Hadin, Porek Mimena Menu, Eva v'gazel shulashot. The hagasli bo b'hara shota rosh v'gasriwa. That somebody who holds himself back from getting involved in din, who doesn't rush to take on other people's disputes, so that's probably a good idea because he saves from himself Eva, he's going to make sure people aren't going to hate him because of his decision, and gazel, there's not going to be a problem of theft that maybe he's moving around money that is unjust or shvua shav, unnecessary shvua, so he'll save himself all these problems that a dying has if he avoids getting involved, while in contrast, a gas libo bahara, somebody who's so confident in his own ability, so he's probably the opposite. He's probably much less qualified. But the Mishnah is saying it's good advice to not get involved. So it could be, as some of the portion point out, that first part of the Mishnah is saying the average person is not a yachid mumcha, is not the Mokhla Rabim, so he's not really equipped to do this. So if he's going to get involved in Din, he's going to have all these problems. They're going to hang him, and he's going to possibly be facilitating theft by moving around money inappropriately, and all kinds of problems. But if he's a Yachid Mokhla Rabim, if he really does know what he's doing, okay, so then he could get involved, because he's not going to necessarily have these issues. But, and the next part of the Mishnah says, he should not do it by himself. He should get all the dayanim, because that'll prevent these problems from coming out. So, it could be that the Bartanura understands, so if they're makabel him, then again he's not going to have these problems, because this concern that they're going to hate him, or that there's some kind of gezel involved. If they said, listen, we're fine with whatever you say, because we trust you, and we're in the Kabul, and you know what you're doing, and we're ready to follow you. So then they're not going to hate him. There's not going to be a concern of gezel, because he's the term. They understand that whatever your decision is, that's the truth. While the Tosfos Yontif, he's assuming, is saying, no, it's not like that. It's not up to them to decide what the truth is. He thinks the job of the Dayan is to really figure out the absolute evidence, to really figure out what the truth really is, what the factual case is. And therefore, even if they're makabel him, he should still work harder not to make a mistake, and it would still be wrong not to have other Dayanim involved. So that's an alternative route to explaining this machlokas. Right? The first way, the Sandy Argyer by Sachs way, was to say, is the concern covered or toast? And if it's toast, we don't have to worry because they're makabalit. And the Sukkos Davar is saying differently, that even within toast, you can see it two ways. Is a toast mitigated completely if they're makabal him? And then we say, no, that even if they're makabal him, if it's not real MS, then that's something we want to shy away from. And again, that kind of dichotomy, those two possibilities, is something that's going to come up again and again as we get towards Pshara and as we get to other issues involving the Chilas. Let's just quickly review what we spoke about, then we'll daven Mincha. Again, the newcomers, our usual minigas to daven Mincha here, at least every day other than Tuesday. And then we'll have to continue with this. What's up next is to figure out exactly what this Yachid L'Mumcha L'Rabim is qualified to do and some of the implications therein. So just to quickly, as we spoke about today, so we considered how do we deal with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Again, as a disclaimer, we generally view Pirkei Avos as authoritative binding halacha of Sinai, but for the purposes of the sugya, we have to figure out if it ranks on the same level or if it's more Musar and Eitzah Tova, as some right. So here the question is, if our sugya talks about being Don Yechidin, Rav Nachman says that he's the kind of person if we do it, so how does that mix with the Mishnah, which says one should not be Don Yechidin? So, first of all, what's that whole concern about? It sounds like the Mishnah, the way Rashi has understand it, that it's an idea of covet through Rosh Hashanah, that he died in the and it's not right for any human being to do it. And then we saw that Tosfos over here deals with it. How does Rav Nachman square with the Mishnah? And Tosfos seems to work off the premise that it's about mistakes, and then says, Nachman practically, either he didn't actually do it, he just told himself an example of somebody who could do it, or he did do it because he's experienced enough that he doesn't have to worry so much about mistakes. And we look at the Rambam is a little bit ambiguous. The Rambam says that it's mutter to do this, but Sibu Chachamim, Mitzvah Chachamim, not to do it, to get other people with you. And the Hagos Maimini quoted from the Sefer HaMitzvah, Gadol Smag, that one should take this as good advice. And then we noted that Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Truvis, in your day of Kuflin Beis, he talks about how does this mix with the idea that you need three for the Shechina? The Gemara in Brachos that says that the Shechina is there for a Bezdin of three and is also there for one person learning. So the Chiddush of three is that they're involved in less obvious Torah content, they're involved in settling disputes. But the Gemara says the Chiddush is that's also called Torah. The Moshe says maybe it's also only called Torah when it's the whole process of the Bezdin, which requires the panel of three for the Shechina to be there, and maybe that ties into the whole question of what's going on. We mentioned Agav, that in this week's Parashat Yisroel, you find the Meshech Chachma commenting also along those lines about Yisroel's objection to Moshe being done by himself, and how that correlates to these issues. So then we saw also that the rest of the Mishnah in context seems to connect this. The Mishnah then goes on to say, you shouldn't say Kavu Daiti, and many before should understand that it means that once this single Dayan is taken on to other people, so you shouldn't tell them, okay, just quiet and listen to me, because that undermines the whole point. The whole point is that you're supposed to let them vote. And there's a fascinating machlokas that Tashbet says that really this is just midarkei hachasidus, that he could tell them what to do, because he seems to be assuming, like Rav Haigon, that we follow Rav Chochma, not Rav people. But others would say, no, like the Ramban, we follow Rav people, so he's literally not allowed to tell them what to do. And that's the last part of the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, Shein HaTorah Shah Elohei Rishah, you're not allowed to, but they're allowed to. Meaning you, the single dying, can't tell the other two, listen to me, but they can say to him, yes, you have to listen to us, because we're the majority. We mentioned also the Maharam Shik in his commentary. Maharam Shik says that this is good advice to everyone, to get bring other people in, so you shouldn't make a mistake, and it's true not just here, but it's true in any area of halacha. It's good to get other people involved. And then the rest of the mission is saying that once you're doing guests, there's no point in ordering them to listen to you. The whole point is to get their perspective and to let them honestly express their opinion and to not order them to be yes men. And then the question, major machlokas, if the litigants are makabel then, does that mitigate this concern? Do we say that it's not even darchei chasidus, there's no issue at all with being don yichidi? So that was a major machlokas that Bar Mura said, yes, there's no issue at all. If the makabel yield, there's no issue even darchei chasidus. Tashbet said the same thing, and he quoted the Yerushalmi, which was seems to be an explicit source for this. And the Tosfos Yontif says, what are you talking about? I don't know about the Yerushalmi, and the whole thing doesn't seem to be good policy. And then we mentioned to his bearer at this point that the question of maybe it's, are we worried about kavod or are we worried about tos? If we're worried about kavod, it's still a problem if they're makabel. If we're worried about tos, then maybe they're being makabel mitigates that. That was the way Rabbi Isaacs discussed it in his Sefer and Pirkei Avos. And the Sukkah Stav suggests differently. They both are concerned about tos, but the question is, should we say that if you're makabel, that mitigates all the concerns completely because they're cool with it? So it's all about the previous Mishnah, that if you're not qualified, don't judge, so you shouldn't get involved in aid and on the like. Or do we say that no, that it doesn't mitigate it, there's still a concern of trying to reach the MS, and that's perhaps the position of Bartner. I'll just end on one other note, that so practically speaking, what happens nowadays, because this is something that does take place, so if you take a look, maybe we'll start with this point next week, because you'll see the Ramah and the Shach and a few others talk about practically what to do about this. That's another point also that we'll have to start with, and to talk also about what other ramifications there are to being a Don Yechidi. Okay, who wants to daven for us? Do we have a volunteer? Good. Okay, directly.